You thought you'd gotten rid of us, didn't you? But you were wrong, old bean, because we're back with a vengeance.
God save the Queen, my son.
From studios in Hollywood, California, rural southern Indiana, and the hinterlands of North Dakota, this is the Live, Laugh, Golf Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Desert Duffer, OTB Lefty, and Jay Score.
Welcome back to the LLG Podcast. I am Desert Duffer. It's been a while. I'm here, joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Jay Score and OTP Lefty. Jay Score, how you been, buddy?
I am honestly struggling. Winter will not end up here in Fargo, North Dakota. It continues to rage on. In fact, as we're recording this, we are in the middle of a blizzard on April 4th. Absolutely incredible.
This is to be expected in Fargo, right? I mean,
It's not uncommon. Yeah, it's not rare. It's not unique. It's not extreme. It's, you know, it is relatively common. But it, you know, we have a year where I've played golf by now, and then we have a year like this, and it's just sort of that you never know what you're going to get when spring comes. And the groundhog, we don't even pay attention to that guy. He's just a liar all the time. He's irrelevant up here. But it's been tough.
Do you get the email updates from the club? Are they saying there's another 2 feet of snow on the ground, so we're not going to be opening this week?
Like, we have not. The club
what's the
emails
mood over there,
the dire. The club emails have not even referenced opening day or course opening. Every year, though, there is a pool that they run to guess the opening day, and you can place your bet basically on what day the club will open. They are extending the dining hours here pretty soon, which is a good sign.
I was just going to ask, what are the club hours during the wintertime? Is it open for dinner every night, a couple days a week? Do you have an indoor bay? You get some TrackMan action going on?
Oh, we do have an indoor bay. There used to be two indoor bays, but the second one got gobbled up for extra event and dining room space as the membership has swelled. Much to my chagrin, the game is healthy, but I prefer a smaller member count. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, no service. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they've got service. But yeah, you know, there's a cooler in the pro shop. You can grab a couple drinks if you need when you're using the sim on like a Monday night or something. But the bar and dining is generally not open.
For the folks that are living where they have already played golf and spring has sprung, tell the folks about your streak of cold days.
We finally on Sunday, that's the silver lining of all this. On Sunday, we finally got above 40 degrees for the first time in about 143 days, 144 days. And it was almost to break the record. It was just a few days short of the all-time record for consecutive days under 40 degrees for air temperature. So, and that's Fahrenheit for our international listeners.
Yes. If you're listening at home, that's over one third of the year.
Yes, it is.
That is unbelievable. 4 months straight. It was much warmer this winter in Indiana. We had one major snow event and one cold snap right around Christmas. And other than that, we were pretty much golfable all the way through January, February, and March. I got a lot of miles in on the golf course working on that pesky short game. Golf game's okay. Life is good. We have weathered the busy season for myself, and we've got a bunch of great trips coming up. Headed to Bandon.
So it's 2 weeks. Clear to the folks at home that you're not a tax accountant. Or a tax lawyer.
Absolutely not. Headed to Bandon in 2 weeks. I got a side trip to San Francisco on the front and
know.
The back. Very excited about that.
I almost want to ask you to just stop because you're honestly kind of making me upset about this. I mean, as somebody who, because once the snow melts here, we have flood season and several holes on my home course are going to be underwater for another 6-8 weeks. I mean, my course probably won't play full length until June.
It was 83 here today, J-Score.
At some point, J-Score, I'd like to talk to you about the history of Fargo, how people came to settle there, why they stayed. There was probably some shipping lane that was important a while back, but I'm just curious why you folks have decided to remain there when there are other parts of the country you could go where it's not snowing right now.
You're not wrong, Duff. You're absolutely not wrong. And I can't wait to share the details and history and celebrate my eventual relocation. We got to get out of here. We have to break the chains. We have to.
That's right. You got to break the cycle of violence. Get out of there. Do it for your kids. Do it for future generations.
It's the family-based geofencing it's too much, you know? I mean, think about it, you know, when you're on we can't do it anymore. And then as I say that, next winter will probably be the mildest winter ever, and I'll probably have played several rounds of golf by this time next year, but I can't do it.
Yeah, let's not even find out.
I like that. I think that's what we'll go with. But you've got some incredible trips coming up and some great golf OTP. What is there a course you're most excited to see?
Oh man, the whole Bandon Resort. I've done a lot of homework. People have told me not to do that.
Is this your first?
This is my first trip to Bandon.
That hard to believe.
People have told me not to do a lot of homework, and I have disobeyed all of that. I want to know as much as I can so that I don't have to be thinking about some of that extra stuff. Like, I want to kind of feel like maybe I have my scouting done so I don't have to feel so lost while I'm playing, because I'm only going to get one crack at a couple of the courses.
Oh, you're doing nerdy golf dork kind of research. Before I went for the first time, I was like, tell me about the food on this campus. What can I expect from the steakhouse? Is there a good wine
list?
It stinks. We talked about it.
Yeah, I didn't go to it the only time I've been, I didn't go to it.
Yeah, that part is just like, get enough nutrition to survive. Right now I'm making preparations to make sure that my feet are ready for the battering they're going to take.
Turn the incline up on the treadmill.
Yeah, trying to get enough miles on the new shoes. I've been on a little bit of a buying spree, but just overjoyed and grateful to have the opportunity to, you know, have the friends that we have and the opportunities that we get, you know, when we're off air, when we're not recording at the prolific pace that we are. We call each other. I mean, we do this. We call each other and we laugh because we're so blessed and our life is so great and we have so many great opportunities that it's kind of hysterical. I'm really looking forward to it. I love to fly. It never gets old. I like Uber rides and trains.
It's a miracle coming from the backwoods.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought that a kid from Indiana could go 30,000 feet in the air and end up in California?
Well, it's a shame that my boot doesn't reach you right now because you might make it 30,000 feet in the air. It's not all hip from French Lick stuff. You know, it's just like retaining some sense of wonder.
Yes, of course. And it is, but Bandon is wonderful. And then you're going to fly from Eugene or from Portland to San Francisco to Oakland to San Jose. You haven't sent the itinerary. By the way, for the folks at home, OTP was supposed to come out here to Los Angeles a few weeks ago. I had a whole round set up at a nice course in Santa Barbara that I had to play without him.
This is a lie.
Turned out
the horror.
No, it's true. It was the only golf that I've played in like the last 3 months. You couldn't make it, so I went out there and slapped my way around Valley Club. But you know, we missed having you out there.
Yeah, and we will get it done. I just had some circumstances that did not line up for me, and anyway, it was regretful. Obviously, we love the opportunities to be together. It's been a while, but we have some stuff in the cards for spring and for summer. So things are going to be good.
But so you are flying. Are you flying into San Francisco? What's the plan?
Yes,
Break it down.
Okay. Well, it's a San Francisco flight on Sunday, and then we're going to spend some time in the Bay Area at undisclosed locations. And then on Wednesday, we're flying to Coos Bay.
Yeah, is this? It's why does it have to be undisclosed?
Because
one of those courses where they don't allow you to take pictures, or they try to prevent you from taking pictures while you're there.
No, not at all. Let's just say that we shall not count our chickens before they hatch.
Okay. These it's are not a situation where you're going to be trying to jump the fence.
No,
or anything.
You have been invited. No. It's humility. It's wanting to be. Yeah, we want to care for the blessing that we've received. And if things turn out the way that we have them planned, we will talk about them in great detail on great. A future
episode.
You just
don't want to jinx yourself.
That may be what other people would call it. Yes, maybe so. But anyway, we're flying into Coos Bay, which I think is about like an office depot. From what I've seen and looking at it on Google Earth, there's people lament the fog.
That's probably a mistake. You probably should have flown into either Portland or Eugene and driven, because that's where the bags get lost. That's where the flights get delayed. That's where all the cluster effing happens.
Yeah. Anyway, in reply, I would say that I'm not taking a connection and then going there. I'm flying there 2 days later, so I'm taking a single flight. So
when it works, Coos Bay is great.
Yeah. And then after our trip is over, I'm flying back to San Francisco and I'm staying one more day just because I really like it. Or at least the last time I was there, I really liked it. And then I'm flying home.
Yeah. There's a, we're not going to go into
certain things in the world climate may have changed.
The many disgraces that are the city of San Francisco. It's not my favorite. I did live there for a while. There are some good things. Lovely Major League Baseball park there. Some good restaurants, but for the most part, the city is not what it was when we were children. Let's put it that way.
Nice. You know what is my favorite? It was my favorite thing, Duffer. This is my favorite week of golf of the entire year.
Oh,
it's favorite week.
Are you playing somewhere?
Why is that?
What's happening this week? Why is it your favorite week?
There's a professional golf tournament in Georgia this week that's going to be on television.
So we can clear that up right now. My wife is an IP lawyer. She's an IP lawyer at a very reputable firm, maybe even one of those firms that are involved in the LIV PGA litigation. We can't say. I can neither confirm nor deny that. But I have checked with her, and it is okay for us to say the name of the tournament on this podcast. As long as we can't sell merch or something. I don't know. But we're allowed to say the Masters. The Masters tournament is happening this week. Apparently you like it. Gary Player made some news this week saying that I guess it's not his favorite. It's clearly, did he say it was the worst of the majors?
He might be right. Strength of field wise, the Masters, it's the weakest. The Players and the Open and the US Open and the PGA all are far
superior. Don't say the
players.
You said the players and that was gross. But the PGA Championship, which I hope that was just some sort of disgusting Freudian slip. I don't know what Freud would say about that, but the Players obviously not a major in any way, less so this year than any time before. But the PGA
I could have mentioned the Northern Trust Open a couple of years having better strength of field than the Masters too.
There you go. But let's talk about it. How about JT, you're the guy who loves the Masters. Let's talk about it right now. Where does the Masters rank for you among the four majors, and I guess among all golf tournaments, if there's something else, if LIV Mayakoba is up there already, go ahead and throw it in.
Okay. So just for clarity, Gary Player says the Open Championship is number one, the United States Open is two, the PGA three, and the Masters is fourth. And I can't say that's right. I don't know what he's trying to do there. So
he's trying. He's trying to be petty.
We got to acknowledge the elephant in the room, a dick, and the tournament doesn't like him because his son is also a dick. There's a whole. It's a family of schmuckiness, and so there may be something more to it than just an objective. Characterization of these tournaments coming from Gary Player.
All right, so I'm gonna tell you that if I'm ranking the majors in terms of their importance, because there are factors, right? But I'm gonna say I agree with Gary Player about number one. All right, I think winning the Open Championship is most important.
It seems like – so you're going to give us like five different kinds of rankings.
No,
hopefully,
no,
we won't have anything left to say by the time you're done with your
– British Open's one. Open Championship's one. Masters is two. It's my favorite week of the year. It's my favorite tournament. It's the most – I'm the most entertained. To me, I think if I had to win a tournament, that's the one I'd want to win. U.S.
Because
Open,
of the free food.
Of course. And, I mean, the snazzy coat. I look great in green. What the U.S. Open would be a narrowly third, and then the PGA Championship would be like 25th. I mean, I think I'd rather win just about anything than the PGA.
I'll tell
Championship.
You, I'm surprised because a lot of the people out there, those of you who are not tuning in from Bedford, Indiana, you don't realize what a patriot OTP Lefty is. I mean, this is a guy, he loves him some America. So it's almost shocking to me. To hear that the U.S. Open, the national championship, is only third.
I would rather four putt the last hole of the U.S. Open to lose than win the PGA.
Well, that's good. We may reach a consensus when it comes to the PGA. Okay, so we've got Masters is your favorite. Open Championship is the most important. That's pretty much where you come out. The PGA Championship is the least important and your least favorite. It stinks. We shouldn't even include it in the conversation. It's gross. All right. I can't argue with that too much. J-Score, you have some opinions on this?
Yeah, so for me as a fan of golf, the Masters is a ton of fun. The whole week is fun. It feels normally under, you know, more mild winters. It's the start of summer. Excitement is in the air up here. Everybody's buzzing, walking around in shorts when it's 40 degrees out. You know, it's great. You start to see the grass under the snow. So it usually is, you know, my favorite and the best time of year. I'm with OTP there.
Can we, I hate to interrupt, but can we talk about why is it the most fun? What is it about? I'm
so
afraid that a lot of it has to do with the pretty flowers and the green grass that.
So it's a couple, you know, things
most of
for
us have grown up with.
It's for me. It's, you know, this being on the same course all the time definitely helps. You're intimately familiar with the course. You know every hole. You know the spots. You know the misses. You know the history. The shots that have been hit from those spots. So that definitely adds a depth to it as a fan, and I'm sure as a player too. But I wouldn't know anything about that. I'm terrible at the game. But that is a big part. And then of course, like they clearly are so. The Green Jackets are so heavy-handed on the presentation, and it's very intentional, and it's very easy on the eyes. The lack of invasive ads. The app. That they every year when I get to download the app, it's so clean, it's so easy, it's so unintrusive in your face compared to the PGA Tour's app, which did get an upgrade. It's a little bit better, but it's still miserable. And it,
how does it compare to the Signal app? Are you guys on Signal? Signal app?
I've never heard.
We'll talk about this a little bit later, but it sounds like the PGA Tour and Augusta National and, you know, their cohorts, their co-conspirators have recently taken to Signal as their communication medium of choice.
Interesting.
I guess so they can destroy their messages.
Are there some emails? We might have to get into that a little bit.
We'll talk about that later.
But yeah, I think the course, the presentation, the history, you know, it's so familiar. And then the time of year too, I think is a big part of it for me. And then for me, I got to go.
Did you hate the Masters when it was held in October or November or whenever it was a couple of years ago? That was the one DJ won, right?
That was the one DJ won. Some say it didn't happen.
It was kind of crappy. That wasn't great.
It wasn't.
Didn't feel right.
No, they're so dialed into getting this thing absolutely mint this time of year. So to try to shift everything around to make it work then, I mean, they did their best and it happened. But to me, I think that's it. It's just it's the same course, the presentation, the music. You know, the azaleas are pretty.
It's that,
you know,
little piano music. I think Jim Nantz has to get a lot
that's
of credit.
That's been my ringtone
for at least for
years.
People. Yeah, for people of a certain age, the whole "Hello, Friends," that lilting music. I mean, they lock you in. There's something hypnotic about that. It's I read a story in the New York Times a couple of years ago that I don't know. some science nerds broke down a bunch of Adele's songs, and they figured out that, like, she was, whether consciously or not, she had figured out this formula that was able to evoke emotion in people, and that she was churning out these hits that were following this sick formula. You know, there are these guys like that schmucky lawyer who he's got a blog. What's his name? He's down in one of the SEC schools or whatever. He blogs about golf, and he's on Twitter.
You're a resident lawyer, Duff. You got to tell us.
I don't know what his name is. You guys know who I'm talking about. He has some rant. He hates Phil Mickelson, and he got really upset. And I've heard him talk on other people's podcasts about how offended he was because Phil Mickelson, when he was wooing Amy, took her to horror movies because it would make her feel emotions, and then she would, you know, for some reason be more attracted to him. And this guy, he found that appalling. I found it clever.
Nice angle.
That's what people used to do.
It's got a little bit of psychopath vibes to it, but okay.
In any event, Phil was using what he had, and apparently Adele has zeroed in on this, and there's a reason behind all of her hits. You know, she's using our emotions. She's using science against us. And I think those people, those masters of the universe at Augusta National, know exactly what they're doing with that music.
Yeah.
I think they're behind it. And, you know, you look at it one way or another. Either exactly.
The Gulf Illuminati, Duff. My condition has been conditioned. And I guess I just have to say, I'm comfortable with that, I guess. But after the Masters, for me, it's U.S. Open. I think the qualifying, the grind.
Good to see we have
one
non-communist on this panel. JT,
believe it or not, I mean,
so
shocking.
Disappointed in you.
Shocking that it's me of all. But to me, the grueling qualification and the grind and the absolute massive size of the field and competition is something else. And then I always like, I really do. I don't want to, but I absolutely just gobble up the setup and the relative score to par discussion and over analysis for the U.S. Open. I hate it, but I think I actually love it. Like, I think I actually love it because I can't get enough of it. Every year I'm just like, okay, give me more. How deep's the rough? Show me the ball dropping in.
I think I'm firmly in the camp.
Are they protecting par?
They should protect par. They shouldn't just protect par. Par should be aspirational. I think they should protect like five over par.
There have been
just make it as absolutely nasty as you can.
Well,
I'm all in favor of that.
I wouldn't mind seeing them drop the par entirely and just go to stroke count again and just see like a kind of a throwback. We're rolling back the ball. Let's roll back the scoring too and just see what we can do there too. But U.S. Open for me is too open championship. You know, it's cool. I get it. And then PGA championship, I mean, whatever. Throw it in the dumpster. Does nothing for me.
Okay. So I might have missed it. So you went with the U.S. Open as number one?
As number two. I go Masters,
you got the Masters
one.
It's, okay, yeah, you got it's, the Masters.
It's, as a fan of golf, it's my favorite. I can't help it. Like I said, it's probably the Gulf Illuminati just conditioning me and getting me just absolutely, you know, Pavlov dog with the bell ringing, the music plays. I just go, oh, I need more Masters coverage.
Yeah.
But
all right. I'm going to waffle a little bit like JT did. And I've got sort of two answers. I think that the Masters on average is the best major. I think you know what you're going to get from the Masters pretty much every year. There's a very high floor, right? You're going to get that music. You're going to get the green grass. You're going to get your azaleas, okay? There's going to be the jacket awarded in Butler Cabin. We're going to talk about the pimento sandwiches. You know what you're getting, and the floor is very high. So I think the average, the mean, maybe even the median for the Masters is your number one. But I think the highest high is the Open Championship. Like some of those years, you know, some of these courses, let's be honest, like I don't want to name names because we've got fans over there, but some of them you love, some of them are not as interesting. But if you get the right weather on the right course, it does not get any better than the Open Championship. And the right weather can be different, right? Like, remember a few years ago when it was totally baked out? That's super cool. I want to see 500-yard drives because the ball just rolls forever. But then I want to have just rain and wind, and I want to play down there. I'm going to go back to that that course that I guess is persona non grata now that it's owned by the former president. But that's an amazing course down there on the west coast of Scotland. The wind blows, it rains down there, you know, that fill. And I mean, that's a great course. Troon down there, amazing. You know, so I just think when everything goes right, the Open Championship is the best. Sometimes it can be a real dud. Sometimes everybody's just beating the crap out of the course and the wind's not blowing, and it's like,
but a high ceiling, like the highest of ceilings.
Yeah, the highest ceiling. So I think at their best, I'm going to go Open Championship 1, Masters 2. On average, I'm going to take Masters 1, then go Open Championship. Actually, on average, I might take the U.S. That's where I might go U.S. Open. And this is, you know, this is probably some nationalism here. I do live in the United States of America. I do love this country. But I like the setup. I like that they used to at least try and make it tough. You know, some of the courses, Torrey Pines. Yeah. Actually, you know, have you guys been to the Masters?
I have. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, tell me about your experience. But because I think that's a part of it too. Once you go there, your opinion on everything is either confirmed or, I guess, totally changed. What was your experience?
Yeah, when both you and OTP were talking about the Open being won, I immediately was like, I've never been across the pond to see any of those properties or properties like that, and never played golf over there. So immediately I started to think, I wonder when I get over there if that's going to change my perspective of it to really kind of see it firsthand. But yeah, I mean, the Masters, walking the property was fantastic. We got to go in 2018. Fortunate enough to get Wednesday practice round tickets, which I think was really great. We could bring an actual camera on, so to have a deep photo album of photos I took as a memento, I guess.
So Wednesday is the priceless. Par 3 contest.
Wednesday is the par 3 contest.
You stayed honestly, for the whole thing. Who won?
I don't care. No, we honestly didn't. We spent most of our time on the championship course. We went over and checked out the par 3 after it had started. We got a delicious Georgia peach ice cream sandwich. You know, checked out some flowers, took some cool photos, but we didn't sit and watch any of the par 3. It was just, it's a gimmick.
Was that through the lottery? Yeah. You won the lottery?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you select 2 tickets, 4 tickets, 3 tickets? What was your choice when entering the lottery?
I'm
Folks
such
at
a
home want to know, because it's this is like, is there a secret?
I don't know. I've wondered the same thing, because I've entered it my whole life and have only gotten picked the one time. And I did 2. So that year I did 2. I'm a responsible steward. I didn't want to deal with secondhand sales or anything like that. So it was just going to be, you know, I submitted for myself and my wife, and I did every day, 2 tickets every day, and we ended up getting selected to have the opportunity to purchase for Wednesday. And yeah, I mean, it's incredible. The hospitality, the well-oiled machine, the food prices, all of that stuff they say, it's all incredibly true. None of it is an exaggeration.
You know what's frigging amazing about it? The no phone policy.
It's
absolute
great.
Best thing. First of all, from a personal standpoint, it's great to be freed from it. I have no choice. For one day, that I can't have it. Sorry, don't email me work. Don't email me mom. Like, leave me alone. I can't help. It's not. I wish I could bring my phone, but they won't let me. So it's great from a personal freedom kind of standpoint, but also, you know, looking around and not seeing people staring at their phones and not having to worry about bumping into somebody because they're writing an email while they're walking down a crowded walkway.
Yeah,
it's just, that's great. And you know,
the big phone bank they have adds an element of cool outside the pro shop and stuff. The big telephone bank they've got.
Yeah, they take
throwback.
Care of it. That went. I mean, so I went in 2017. I also won the lottery. I also won Wednesday tickets. However, I sold my Wednesday tickets so I could buy Thursday tickets from StubHub, and that turned out to be the greatest move, because on Wednesday it rained, but first they opened the gates. they opened the gates, and about an hour after the gates opened, it started pouring, and they sent everyone home about 2 hours later. So if you ended up with Wednesday tickets, that was it. They didn't give you a rain check. They didn't let you come back Thursday. They didn't let you come back next year. You were just screwed. So somebody, sorry out there if you're the person who bought my Wednesday tickets, but somebody paid me like $1,500 or $2,000 each for my Wednesday tickets. And they got nothing out of it. I, however, got a beautiful Thursday of golf.
Well, I hope they at least hit the pro shop, got a gnome or something. You know, maybe they could.
I'm sure they allowed people to spend their money in the pro shop. But that was tough. That was the year Sergio won. And I actually followed Sergio for a little while on Thursday. There was nobody following him. But,
So I will say the phones is very cool. The year before in 2017, we also went to the U.S. Open at Erin Hills. And, you know, being able to follow the action on your phone, and they also were giving away, like Amex was giving away radios that you could listen to as well, the little earbud to hear the PGA Tour radio coverage. And so at the US Open, I felt very plugged in to exactly what was going on. So when you'd hear a roar seconds later, the radio would cover what it was. Whereas, you know, at Augusta, you're waiting for the scoreboard to change. So you're like, what was that exactly? And then the crowd is all very curious, and that's got a different energy to it too. It's still just as fun in a different way. As it's like, oh, what was that?
I thought they had some radios at the Masters too. I wonder if that was my imagination. I mean, they've had them at, I went to a Ryder Cup there.
We were there Wednesday. So it was like practice round stuff where it was like, okay, you're kind of checking the smaller scoreboards to see, like they have those smaller practice round scoreboards where who's coming on and what tee they're going to come on. And it's kind of a guessing game. But then once they get on the course, they do keep some information up on the boards. But I mean, it was Tiger City is basically on when we were there, everybody was waiting for Tiger to come out. And we stood at number 8 tee box for a while and waited for the cat to roll through. And it was worth it. It was, you know.
All right. So you've all been there. I've been twice. Nothing.
No big deal.
Very little to add. Have only been to practice rounds. Was just amazed at the beauty, and the change of elevation and stuff is surprising. Yeah. Even though I play one of the hilliest golf courses that there is. So
hole one still like so, blows
is that,
my mind.
Is that Palos Verdes Golf Club where they held the LPGA event this
yeah,
week?
Yes, that's where I play. I commute by privately owned Concorde. From our local airport, it's quite harrowing every time. I couldn't believe how well run it was. I couldn't believe how clean everything was. That was all great. Mm-hmm. Tell me, based on your experience, what hole did your opinion change?
Like, no, I won't do that.
Okay. nothing improved. Like, let me offer one. I never had any thought about number 5. And then after 2 trips to the course to see people mess around on number 5, I told people after we walked around all day, I said, if we got to play here, I might not even play number 5. It's so hard. Like, I don't know if I can make a 6 there. Like, we're regular mortal golfers. If you hit it down the left side and get stuck in one of those bunkers that are 30 feet tall, well, no chance. You hit it down the fairway. Okay, you've got 300 yards left to a green that's got 2 elephants buried in it. Like, no chance. What am I going to miss the green and I'm chipping off that turf that's like linoleum? No chance. Like,
we are allowed to use the name of the tournament, but you're not allowed to call the turf linoleum. That's a major
problem. Well, you can't bikini wax linoleum. So you just use regular Swiffer wet jet on that stuff. I can't confirm.
For me, it's really just there wasn't a hole. I thought it was just sort of the whole course just sort of came to this new, like it came, became bigger, bolder. Like it was, you know, the cliche of it doesn't show it on TV. And like hole 10, I'm like, oh my goodness, like you can go skiing down hole 10. Like this is crazy. And yeah, I just felt in that that bunker that's just, like back off the green, like I couldn't, like that thing was huge. I couldn't believe how intimidating it was. And it looked like, you know, from your approach shot, it looks like it's right there in front of the green and it ain't. And I don't know, the whole, all the dramatic features of it just were very exaggerated. Yeah,
I felt the same way. It seems so much hillier than it does on TV, and the width of so many of the fairways. Like when you're at one of the crosswalks, you're just like this goes forever. This could be a whole hole. The lateral distance of this hole. It's truly one of those, one of the rare experiences that more than lives up to the hype. Absolutely.
Really does.
So in terms of the tournament, you were there in 2018. JT, you haven't mentioned which years you were there. JT, you went to practice rounds. Did you stick around Augusta for the week, or did you take off? Did you go hang out with Mr. Daly at Hooters for the rest of the week, or what? You're on mute, I think, if you're trying to answer that question.
Sweet. I'm just trying to obey the rules as set forth by my master to not cause too much noise. Anyway, in 13, I took my father, and we left the golf course and drove home immediately after kind of a shorter day. And then in 16, we drank all the beer in Augusta, Georgia, that day on course and off. And then we slept and drove back on Tuesday.
All right.
Yeah. There might have been an oyster bomb in there somewhere.
Was that J-Score, did you stick around after Wednesday or what?
No, we didn't stick around. We headed back and watched from the comfort of the couch.
Nice. I did. I stuck around, spent some time at Hooters, played some golf and some local golf in the area. I played Palmetto that week.
Oh.
There's a good time to be had down there during Masters Week. It's a festival for sure. But so what year is your favorite tournament, JT? I know you like to collect these sorts of trivia questions. What's your favorite year, your favorite memory of the Masters? If you had to pick one that you would watch on TV over and over again, what's the year?
Okay, so my favorite one was 2005 when Tiger beat DeMarco in a playoff, because they played like half of the third round on Sunday morning early, and Tiger lost his mind and made like 7 birdies in a 9-hole stretch, and you couldn't see it, right? There wasn't any coverage of it, and like how that felt. And then this is after the famous chip in, and then he goes and bogeys the last 2 holes and winds up in a playoff. It was just really exciting, and we got the result we wanted. So I'm going to vote for 2005.
Right on. J-Score?
Favorite one. And the funny part was I was kind of landing on 2005. It was
come with me, baby. Come with
yeah,
me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good one. Sorry, old timers here that I'm potting with, but it was the year I graduated from high school, the Tiger Woods hype, Ryan Moore low am. I just remember like a lot of good stuff that year and had a lot of fun watching that one.
I thought you were going to say 1986, but I guess 2005 is good. I liked – so for me, 97 was big. I mean,
sweet.
I had been following Tiger for a while. You know, obviously had followed his exploits in the amateur, and was a big fan already, and was kind of waiting for something like this to happen. And then just – you know, it's funny to think that – such a blowout, such a dominant performance could be your favorite. I mean, because there was nothing happening on Sunday, right? I mean,
just playing against history.
It was how much are you going to win by? But that was enthralling. Just unbelievable to see this. He was just a kid, you know. He's a couple of years younger than me, so it just felt like this child was just beating the crap out of these old guys who so many. There was such a, you know, there was a lot of hostility. It's easy to forget now because he's an elder statesman, so important to the game and has done so much in the game. But there was so much resentment among many of the pro golfers back then. And like, you know, he's a kind of flash in the pan thing. And they felt like he was getting too much publicity and a little too much attention. And that was just the, okay, shut up. Everybody shut up. Just shut up, because he's
I can do
so
stuff
much
you can't
better
do,
than
baby.
You. Yeah. So I just love that. I thought that was so.
All right, let's go to the other end. So, Jesse, if 2005 was your favorite Masters, what was your least favorite Masters?
I mean, coincidentally, this wasn't planned, but 2016, Danny Willett winning it. I hated everything about that. I'm trying to forget that it even happened. I find it just so despicable and disrespectful. And I'm glad Danny Willett's career is basically tanked. And that's, you know, I hate to root against somebody so harshly, but gosh, like, I remember just being like having such a visceral reaction to Danny Willett winning. And then just hoping he would fall off, and there's a little bit of vindication there, but yeah, 2016 Danny Willett.
Amen.
It's just making me mad thinking about
Amen,
it.
Duffer. What's your least favorite Masters?
We're close there, but I'm going to go with 2015. I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth in 2015. That was probably my absolute least.
Pardon me?
Yeah, Jordan Spieth.
The kid?
I know. It's hard to believe that there's somebody out there who's not a massive Jordan Spieth fan, right? Here's what bothered me about it mostly. Not just that kind of I understand he's a nice guy. I'm sure he gives money to charity and he tithes and he does all of the things that he's supposed to do. I'm sure he's a good guy. I don't like watching him play golf. I don't like his self-talk. I find his whole thing on the golf course annoying. But what really bothered me about it was, again, I had just talked about how much I loved Tiger winning in 1997. What I hated about Spieth's win in 2015 was this is a better performance than Tiger in 97. This is, oh my God, he's 18 under par. It was entirely different. Okay. The course was playing so much easier that week. There were so many players that were still in the tournament. If you look at, you know, the math guys, they do Z scores and the like. It was not, I mean, good job. You won the tournament. You were the champion. You're the Masters champion. But that was not a performance that was anywhere near as historic or important or dominant as Tiger's was in 1997. So the whole thing just irritated me. So that's my answer. Final answer, Jordan Spieth, 2015. Hated it. You know, I take solace in the fact that he'll never win again. So
great.
OTP, where are you at?
My favorite bet, Duffer, under 0.5 more wins. I love it. I mean, I disagree with it, but I love it. The worst Masters ever was in 2011, won by Charles Schwartzel.
Charles
Schwartzel sucks. Charles Schwartzel was lucky to win the Masters. That was the only time in his entire golfing life, 35 years long now, that he ever made four birdies in a row. And he birdied life.
We checked with
Elias earlier. The only time all of his scorecards are there.
His debut performance?
South Africa's big on statistics. They put in all their scores going back to the age of six, and it never made four birdies in a row until the last four holes of the Masters. I don't even know what's on the other side of the charisma coin.
I guess we can preview a segment that's going to happen in the next few minutes, because obviously this podcast episode is almost over. It's already been 42 minutes, but we are going to talk about the LIV players in the Masters tournament this year. And one of the questions will be, who among the 18 LIV players in the field do you expect to finish last? And I guess, JT, you're going to go with Charles Schwartzel. Is that a fair guess?
Yeah, 100%.
It's weird because wasn't he on your team? Wasn't that your team last year?
Absolutely, he was on my team.
Off that bandwagon.
Listen, I made decisions. I have moved on. We are on to Singer Australia. DC. Yes, we're on to Australia. Yeah.
So I had brought up that Masters leaderboard 2011 that Schwartzel won. I forgot how many internationals were just clogging up the top of it. I'm with you, OTP. That one stinks.
Oh, jeez, you're killing us with our international fans. That's something that bothers you, J-Score. You're like,
I gave the U.S. Open. You guys are the ones giving the Open the top billing for major. I'm the one stumping for the U.S. Open. What do you want from me?
If it's Rory McIlroy in particular that you were shitting on, I'd be okay with that. But it sounds like you've got beef with like Jason Day and Adam Scott and Jeff Ogilvie, of course. you know, we love our Australian fans. This is a J score only. The views and opinions expressed by J score.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I would have taken any of those guys over Schwartzel. Anybody. I mean, come on. At that point, Scott hadn't won his Masters, and that, like, they were all right there.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you have to be excited about no, because you like Rory. You're a Rory fanboy. I mean, Rory shat his pants, and that is something to celebrate.
Listen, at the time, that would have been a promising prospect. If we want to slightly transition here to this year's tournament, the hilarious scenario is people getting their hopes up as Rory stays near the top of the leaderboard over the 4 days. He has no chance to win the Masters.
If we were on one of those podcasts that did a who will not win prediction, I mean, if you're not picking Rory McIlroy, I don't, what are you even doing? This guy, if there's somebody who does not have a chance, it's Rory McIlroy. I looked at the Data Golf predictions, and they've got him at something like 12.5% chance to win. I mean, that's about 12% too high. There's a chance he could win. I mean, it could happen, right? If he just gets out to a huge lead and everybody else just kind of sleepwalks through Sunday, he could do it. He could backdoor if he's way behind and posts a score. But like any realistic scenario where he's like sleeping on or near the lead and it's within two or three strokes, he is the very definition of soft, right? There's nobody softer than Rory McIlroy. Just a guy who he can't deal with confrontation. It's always a lot of smarmy remarks when people aren't around. It's always winning these tournaments that don't really matter. The ones that he really wants, the one that he needs, he's not going to win. This guy is so soft. He's Dairy Queen soft.
So many things have changed. If it were 2013 and the conditions were like this, Rory was a lock in lift clean and place type stuff. And there's a strong chance of rain all 4 days.
Is it all four? I thought the weekend was supposed to be bad, but I thought we were looking at some good weather in the early rounds. No?
Yeah. Okay, maybe not a strong chance every day, but there's always a chance.
We'll check the models.
There's definitely some plans in place, and there's been some discussion about whether or not it would go to even Tuesday if necessary.
I love the idea of that.
That's hysterical, and I would love that stuff too. That's just so out of bounds. Would be terrific.
All right, so let's do predictions. Let's talk about what's going to happen. So, I mean, we could start with let's not start with winners. Why don't we start first with, I think it's interesting to talk about the LIV guys. It's obviously one of the big stories. They've, you know, the Golf Channel ad nauseum is how are they going to be treated? You know, what are the fans going to treat them like? What are the other players going to treat them like? What's it going to be like at the Champions Dinner? Let's talk about their chances to win. So among the 18 guys, JT, who do you like? Do any of these guys have a chance to compete this week? And if so, which ones? And, you know, how do you rate them?
Yes, 100% professional golfers of great pedigree and credentials have a great opportunity to win the Masters. Based
that
on recent
like
form.
ChatGPT answer.
Well, that really was.
Well, yeah, that's another thing that's going on where people go, well, I don't even remember if he even plays golf. Well, you dumbass. Yeah. You know, like, what are we talking about? Brooks Koepka has had a bunch of high finishes at the Masters. Dustin Johnson won the worst Masters setup ever in 2020. Cameron Smith has been in the top three a couple of times. So all of those folks have a great chance to win the Masters. After that, next best choice is probably, I don't know, on the betting board, it's Neiman. I wouldn't say that. I'd say Patrick Reed because horses for courses. Now, if the weather's bad, he's a shorter hitter, so maybe that wouldn't play into his hands. But when conditions were poor some years ago and cold weather and wind and all of that stuff, stupid short knocking Zach Johnson won the Masters, laying up on every par five. So There's more than one way to skin a cat.
That's a tough one too. I don't like that.
If I had to pick, just make one pick from the live camp, I would pick Smith.
Really?
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I would pick Smith.
I mean, he's not playing really bad golf. You know,
I'm not falling in love with anybody who played with Koepka just because he played good at the Orange County Muni in Orlando. Like, no chance.
Well, but it is golf, and you know, Cam, he in the point standing, the live point standing, he doesn't have a point yet in the three matches. I mean, he's playing some really bad golf. I watched some of his press conference. Care. And he did not seem in a great mindset. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's out for blood this week. I don't, you know, who knows, but I don't like Cam's chances this week.
Yeah. Well, bummer. So who do you like?
So I guess I'm going to chat GPT myself into the contrary view. I don't think any of these guys have a really good chance this week. If I had to pick somebody, obviously you got to go with DJ, who is – you know, you say he's a horse for course because he's won. You know, he likes to hit, he moves the ball left to right, which is obviously not ideal for this course. He's talking about he's going to lay up on 13. We haven't talked about 13, which has been lengthened. A lot of these guys are talking about laying up. It's going to be a 3-shot hole. It's bizarre to hear Dustin Johnson, who of course is one of the longer players in golf, say that he's going to lay up quite a bit. And it's partly because of his ball flight and the way he likes to move the ball left to right. So DJ, he's a guy who, you know, DataGolf says 2.7 chance. The odds have him sort of set up around a 4% chance of winning. I lean more towards DataGolf's characterization than the Vegas books. I don't like Cam this week. I wouldn't be surprised if, you're right, Patrick Reed could do something. Koepka, it's not that I think Orange County National means that he's not prepared to play here at Augusta National this week. I just don't, you know, you win the week before. Is that great? I'm not sure it is.
For an emotional kind of guy like Brooks, I mean, he's soft. He maybe a win is what he needed, you know, to snap back into form. He rattled him off in bunches. Koepka soft?
Duffer.
In reality,
I mean, which kind of soft?
I think that boy is got a lot going on between the ears. I think is what's going on there. So,
Duffer, I won a golf tournament last Sunday, and I didn't calm down until after lunch on Tuesday. and I won a piece of wood and a bush
neck
light.
Golf, right? You're playing so, neck golf.
Absolutely, neck golf. The only kind of golf for me is neck golf.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah. You would have been,
at the same time though, Brooks is, you know, big picture, you zoom out on the chart, right? He's trending down. It's not good for Brooksy.
I'm going to take, if I got to pick one guy, it's DJ, and I don't think anybody else is close among these guys. Cam Smith, yeah. I mean, Mito Pereira. DataGolf gives Mito Pereira a 0.9% chance of winning. That's 1 in 100. That's
Mito and Neiman, maybe. But
I mean, 11 months ago, Mito almost won at Southern Hills, and Southern Hills is kind of a McKenzie-ish.
Yeah, almost won.
Is that what they're
almost
going on?
Won, and hey, you know, that's why he's in this tournament.
Believe me, nobody's more skeptical than I am. I mean, I think there's only about four people that have a chance. So I just picked who I thought was the best out of the live guys.
All right. J-Score, did we get your pick out of the live guys?
No. I mean, if I had a top live guy, it's probably going to be DJ. I think I've picked him in a couple different pools I'm in for the top live flyer pick. But I mean, if I had to...
Sergio, I could see Sergio making some noise. And Bubba. I mean, Bubba, you talk about horses for courses. You can't forget
there
Bubba.
There you go.
God, I would love that. I would love that. That idiot wins 3 Masters and hasn't done anything in over a year. That would be phenomenal.
That would be good. I really, honestly, I just, I for the sake of entertainment as a golf fan, I just want the collective group to compete, you know, to show up and to compete.
Because it's going to be insufferable if they don't. And
if they don't, the dancing on the graves and the Golf Channel pundits are just going to be
It's going to be a lot. It's going to, you know, I've already heard them that the little midget, the Irish midget there, not Rory and not Eamon, the other one, who's the other guy that the Golf Channel trots out there, you know, he used to play McGinley.
Yeah,
he's Paul like McGinley. He's like 4'10", right? I mean, he's a fat little Irish midget. He's been doing the whole
gotten really blue this episode, by the way. feisty bunch here tonight.
He's been honking the horn of, oh, these guys, they're not prepared because they're not playing in serious tournaments, and they can't be expected to compete because they're not competing on a weekly basis, yada yada yada. And so if they don't in fact compete this week, you can expect to hear more and more of that, which is just, you know, ridiculous and irritating, I think. But it's just a fact that some of these guys are just not playing well right now. Bryson obviously playing terrible golf. Cam Smith is not playing well. Phil Mickelson hasn't played well in some time. So, you know, if you don't get something out of Brooks or DJ, I think it could be a really lean week for the LIV golfers. So it is what it is. Yeah. All right. Well, who do you like to actually win this thing overall? OTP, you said there are only three or four guys who have a chance. So who's your number one? Yeah. What do you like here?
Okay. So the three people that have a chance to win, in my opinion, are not going to surprise anyone: Scheffler, McIlroy, and Rahm.
So it's two people have a chance to win. McIlroy does not have a chance to win. He can't win.
There is a chance. Now, this is just proof that this would be proof of the simulation, though. If everything went his way this many times in a row, that would truly show that golf is totally rigged if he wins the Masters. To ascend to the throne of golf at Augusta National while backing the ball change and
playing commissioner
and crushing the hopes of LIV golfers.
I'm going to say right now.
And taking over the tour and buying the European tour. But I'm going to say John Rahm this week. There's been a little missing link with the driver recently, but at his best, he's super good. And the course kind of favors more straightish driving. There's less emphasis on drawing than we've been led to believe, based on the lengthening of holes and stuff. So I'm going with John Rahm.
Interesting. J-score.
I'm really disappointed in myself, and every time I think about it and every time I look, I end up picking Scottie Scheffler again, and it's just the most boring thing I can do, and I keep doing it, and I'm trying to tell myself, Duff, it's so hard to defend, it's so hard to repeat.
You know, I saw him.
But his scrambling and his putting.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen, but I saw this guy beat all four of the four play guys in a one club, one hole challenge recently on the YouTube. And that includes golf savant Dan Rappaport, who, did you know, used to be roommates with Matt Fitzpatrick, U.S. Open champion. I don't know if you knew that.
Wow.
So that's Scheffler, awesome. I guess he's good. This guy's a good player. Yeah.
Let's just say, like, around the green, his approach game is ridiculous. Around the green is ridiculous. His putting, as long as his putting is average, he's the guy to beat, which is, it puts me to sleep, but that's why, you know, the music and the azaleas and everything is going to give me enough dopamine to stay tuned in. But I'm picking Scheffler in every bet I have, every pool I'm in, every whatever. I'm picking him in whatever, in that first tier. I'm rooting for Rahm, though. I'd love to see Rahm win.
My money's on Rahm. I like Rahm. I think Rahm's the best player in golf right now. I think he's the most interesting player in golf. I think he's the most interesting personality on the PGA Tour by far. I like John Rahm a lot, and I think he's going to win this week.
You have heard it, folks. That is unanimity.
No, what you're really going to hear is if Rory McIlroy wins the Masters, I will retire from podcasting. I'm done podcasting if Rory wins. I'm putting that out there right now. Stakes is high.
Loser leave town, man.
I'm not going to say the same thing for Jordan Spieth. If Jordan Spieth does it, I'll tip my cap to him. I'll be back next week. We'll talk about it. I'll eat my words. I'm not quitting. But if Rory wins, I'm done. I'm done with this whole shenanigans. I don't want to do it anymore. If it's going to be a world in which Rory McIlroy has the career Grand Slam, I'm not going to be a part of that. So let's talk about some other guys. Cantlay, Finau, Spieth, Jason Day. Do any of these guys have a real chance? What about somebody like Xander Schauffele? Any of these guys you think real?
I'm still not sure Xander Schauffele is a real person. I mean, I see him out there, but I don't know. He does nothing for me. I don't think he's ever going to win a big one. I don't know why exactly.
Soft,
but
is he soft?
We're vibing. We're vibing tonight, Jesse. What I was going to say. He's not even real.
I don't know. A weird part of me, I bashed the internationals earlier in 2011 where Jason Day was in contention, but then here we go, back in the truck up. You can hear the reverse beeping. I'm rooting for Jason Day. I'd love to see it. It's like a blast from the past. It's putting
Jason
a smile
Day,
on my face.
Man, that guy, talk about somebody who really doesn't deserve the hate that he gets. I mean, just people don't like Jason Day. He's never done anything to anybody. I don't even think the Australians like him, do they?
I don't know.
We'll have to check on that.
I don't know. I'll check around Ripper GC's camp and see what they say.
Well, I'd
love to see him win.
I think Spieth is going to be in the mix this week, and it's going to drive me crazy. Yeah. I'm going to be biting my nails all week waiting for the inevitable blow up, but it will come. It'll come, and Spieth will do something stupid on Saturday or Sunday to play himself out of it. I would love to see Tony Finau do something. Talk about not the personality. That guy bores me. I know some people find Scottie Scheffler boring, Patrick Cantlay boring. I think Tony Finau is an absolute bore too, but I just love the athleticism. I mean, I love the, is it even a three-quarter backswing? I mean, it's like a half, the guy between he and Rahm, I think if you put them together, you don't get a full backswing, and they just pound the ball. For a guy who didn't win anything for so long to just suddenly go on a run and cap it off with the Masters, I think that'd be a phenomenal story. So kind of rooting for the boring Tony Finau.
He's trending the right way for sure right now too. So peaking for Augusta.
And has showed life there too. Like this is one of those places where you have to learn it and pay your dues most of the time.
Can I say though it's a little insulting to see Colin Morikawa up here on these data golf lists? Does he have a chance? There's going to be weather, so I assume he's.
You know, listen, I don't think it's as insulting as it is when you look up and you see on the betting boards this guy Max Homa, it's ridiculous that I need to be. They talk about him on Golf Channel. He's up here on the betting boards. This guy has shown just less than nothing in majors. Like you have to, Billy Horschel, Max Homa, you've got to at least finish in the top 10 of a major before I want to hear anybody talking about you having a chance of winning a major. Max Homa does not have what it takes from everything we've seen to win a major yet. And maybe my opinion on that will change once he finishes in the top 10 of a major. But he has not done that. I don't expect anything to be different this week, just like I don't expect Billy Horschel to make the cut. I mean, when guys tell you who they are, believe them. These are guys who do not have the stomach to play in major championships and under major championship pressure. So Max Homa, get off my board. Get off my TV screen. Get out of the mouths of my announcers. I don't want to hear about you until you do something in a major championship.
Okay, fair enough. Now, can we get just – you want to do say something about Homa, Jesse?
No, I'm with you, Duff. I think it's weird how the media is, like, telling this different story about Homa, and yet, like, I see him whipping clubs and slamming clubs and throwing clubs and – negative self-talk, and he's a kid from California, so I'm sure he's got, you know, no offense, Duff, but you're a masshole, but you know, it that sort of air about it, you know, the California energy.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
This whole man of the people, like, it feels like it's just nonsensical. I mean, he moved out. Did he move to Texas or someplace? He moved to one of the states to avoid taxes, which of course I'm not one to begrudge somebody for doing that. I've been known to
tax avoidance is
an important strategy for your financial future and the future of your children. But I mean, this isn't some man of the people. I mean, enough of that. He's a multimillionaire. He's living the good life. He's probably flying quite a bit on private jets. Is it funny because he makes fun of people's swings on Twitter? He likes Twitter. I don't see how that makes you like this wonderful role model for the kids. Like, enough about Max Homa. Enough.
Having an unbelievable amount of accessibility just causes media members to fall in love. And those people that are in the media are in love with Twitter. So if people are connected on Twitter and they're active on Twitter, that's going to get them some esteem from the media community. I mean, it's just a good strategy. It's wily by him.
Other guys I really like, Sungjae, I think could do some damage out there this week.
That's surprising to hear from you, as he's a foreigner.
I know. Listen, 2011 was a long time ago. J-Score has grown a lot since then. So,
what about,
you know?
Well, what, like, about speaking of?
Like I said, though,
speaking of foreigners, what about Hideki?
Yeah, I mean, I like Sungjae a little bit more than Hideki right now, just with, you know, recency bias and how Sungjae's been playing. I mean, it's not that Hideki's been playing bad, but he's been a little bit, I don't know, not entirely consistent, I guess. You look at some of his recent results and a few miscuts there, some top 10s, nothing real great. But, I mean, fourth place at the U.S. Open is pretty legit, but... You know, Sungjae just feels like he's, again, trending the right way right now and recently been playing really well and a really good ball striker and good driving accuracy and I think the right type of tools that'll
play. All right, head-to-head, Vijay and Phil Mickelson. Who's gonna do better this week, Vijay Singh or Phil Mickelson?
Oh... That hurts me.
The physio. Mickelson.
Yeah, I'm Mickelson, I guess. I think Mickelson might be the worst LIV guy out of the LIV guys, but I think Phil will beat Vijay head to head.
Okay, everybody, your pick for DFL. Who do you got DFL? Larry Mize is out. You can't use Larry Mize.
I was going to pick Larry Mize.
Anybody but Larry Mize. And Sandy Lyle's out too. That's it. Those two are excluded. Anybody else?
Sorry, Canada.
We've got a bunch of amateurs in the field. You're taking Mike Weir.
I am.
Well, best of luck to all the amateurs. I don't think missing the cut makes you dead last. I think you make the cut and then you finish dead last.
Well, that's a different dead last. Yeah, I'm talking about the.
You're trunk slamming. Yeah. You're out.
Right. I'm gonna pick the hater and loser of all time, Fred Couples.
Mm. I love it.
Let's see who's a nutbag. You nutbag.
Horse for course, though. I don't.
I know he plays it well, but hey, all good things come to an end. Father Time is undefeated, and maybe this time. He gets his belt. I'd love
Duff. You calling out the am? Were you going to pick an am to be dead last as your pick?
I wasn't going to pick anybody. I actually, to be honest, I was going to pick Mike Weir too. Mike Weir is just he's an absolute clown. But some of these guys I don't know. And I'm not going to name any of their names because I'll read the name out and you'll be like, he just won the British amateur. I don't know Aldrich Potgieter. He could be a fine player, but he's in
dead last this
week.
He's
an amateur. And he's probably going to miss the cut.
Well, does an amateur miss the cut? As just like a yes or make the cut, I should say. Does an amateur make the
absolutely.
Cut? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
No, that's a prop on the board. We're going to say everyone absolutely. Says yes. I'll make a note of that for
absolutely.
Later.
There's some college kid that I heard somebody yep. on the Shotgun Start podcast raving about today. So I'll look forward to seeing yeah. whether.
I have heard Sergeant Gordon's yeah, name bandied about. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? What do we got? We're over the 1 hour mark. You wanted to talk about I don't want to talk about litigation. It's Masters Week. We don't want to get into the court stuff. Except that I will say there is a hearing on Friday. The PGA Tour has once again asked the judge to stay the schedule, to take the trial date off calendar, to delay discovery because they're not getting enough from His Excellency and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. There's a case management conference on Friday while you folks will be drinking whatever. What's the Masters? There's got to be a special Masters cocktail, right?
There's an Azalea.
Azalea.
You're drinking Azaleas. Cocktail.
And then what's that thing at 16? What's the drink you get on 16 that's like blue Gatorade and something else? You guys know what I'm talking about?
That is.
No.
Because I wasn't at 60.
No, I had.
But anyway, while you guys are watching the Masters on Friday, Friday morning, I will be tuned into Zoom listening to the case management conference just so that I can update you all. There was some discussion that it sounds like the arbitration panel in Europe has sided with the DP World Tour, and they're going to allow the DP World Tour to continue to fine and or suspend players for participating in live events. That is supposed to be, weirdly, it sounds like it's going to be released on Thursday, which is, you know, weird timing, but it is what it is. I don't have too much to say about that. Competition law in Europe and in the UK is different from the United States. This is an arbitration panel. We don't even really know what the claims were at issue there. It's all sort of private. So good for Keith Pelley, I guess, and Jay Monahan, if that's the case. Bad for golf fans in Europe. Bad for the DP World Tour. But it is what it is. We'll find out, I suppose, a little bit more later this week. On Friday, tune into, I guess you don't tune in, but follow me on Twitter, Desert Duffer LLG, I think I am. I'll let you know what happened in the case management conference on Friday. Oh, there's one thing. The PGA Tour, the LIV Tour and the LIV Tour players have filed a motion to bifurcate the case. They want to have separate cases essentially for the antitrust case that they filed and the PGA Tour's frivolous interference claim. They filed a motion to bifurcate that case. The judge has set a hearing for that motion. It's in August. So we're not going to get movement on that for a while. So yeah, go ahead.
Sweet. Speaking of bifurcation, the USGA came out with a ruling about the model local rule golf ball, the shorter golf ball. And I just wanted to go around quickly and get some thoughts about the golf ball rollback. What do you think?
I think it's a decent half measure. I would have just rolled the ball all the way back for, you know, say that's the rule. But, you know, it's fine. It's good. Good. Less distance is good. Nerds want to play the same ball that the pros play. Go for it. You'll be able to buy it. I'm sure that Titleist will sell those balls to your local golf shop, and you can pretend to be Rory McIlroy when you go out to your little Muni and, you know, shoot 97. Who cares? I'll be using the ball that goes farther.
Okay.
Whatever. I mean, I really don't care. Golf will march on. My bigger frustration with it is if we should be taking cues from the elite of the elite in the game as for the game. Like, is pro golf fun to watch all the time, and is distance making the game less fun at that level? Sure. I mean, I happily don't watch a lot of the tournaments week over week that aren't all that important, and a lot of the guys are just golf robots who have specialized in it in their whole life with swing coaches since they were five.
You
or
don't
six
watch.
Years old.
You didn't watch the. I think it was the Valero Texas Open this weekend, or was it? Yes, it was the. It was one of the V tournaments. The Valspar was a couple of weeks ago. We won't be playing the. We're not playing
Texas,
the ratings
yeah.
game this week, but I can tell you that the ratings were bad. They were down over 20% on the weekend, and they were down for Golf Channel too. The pitch and putt. ratings finals on Golf Channel outdrew some of the other golf that was on TV this weekend. That's not just including LIV Golf.
Not a surprise.
The LPGA, nobody's watching. Nobody's watching golf. You know, one of the things we talked about, what makes this week so exciting. This is the week where regular people do watch golf. It's really the only week. There will be 10 million people yep. tuned in on Sunday. If Tiger's in the mix, there'll be 15 million people tuned in on Sunday. And that doesn't happen except for this one time a year. So that's fun to be able to talk about golf to people who they just normally don't care. And it's hard to blame them a lot mm-hmm. of times.
And yeah, so with the Rolex stuff, a lot of it just feels like a strategy play to drive more interest in the pro game and to try to market their product, which good for them, I guess. That's what Jay Monahan and team are charged to do. And you guys have heard me talk about the Golf Illuminati. And
suggesting Jay Monahan is in on this with Mike Wan? Mike the Teflon Don Wan?
Listen, these boards and these anointed officials definitely cross-pollinate across all these different factions and organizations.
But all their communications are deleted immediately after being sent on the Signal app. This is according
to some Discovery
in one of the cases.
That's just standard practice. Who doesn't want to delete all their tweets right away?
Yeah, I mean, apparently the PGA Tour moved to the Signal app sometime late last summer. Just, you know, out of the blue, we're going to go to Signal. And for whatever reason, those messages cannot be retrieved in Discovery. Sorry.
Listen, the Golf Illuminati is out there, people. I will continue to harp on it. And that's the thing. I don't even think it's a distance debate. I think it's like distance debate with the little trademark in the corner, because it's a marketing ploy. It's a how to sell more golf balls, how to improve viewership, how to drive interest in a pro game that's honestly it's struggling. It's on a decline. And so I just don't see why it matters for the lowercase g game of golf one bit. And to me, I think it's poorly done. I think they'll find a way to screw it up. Either just roll it all back. I mean, and you're talking to somebody who plays I play scratch irons. Shout out Ryan Moore. I play a Titleist 983K driver. I play a 975 F3.
Glossing over with these numbers and letters.
Early 2000s. Early 2000s clubs I play. I don't care. But I don't like the idea of the greater game of golf taking the cues from the elite of the elite who do it for money. I think our motives are completely different. And it's a conflict for me.
Jay scores a purist. OTP, do you have some thoughts that you wanted to share with us on the ball, on the model local rule?
Well, I think after all of that, that was a little bit more heartfelt and kind of across. That was a very broad answer. I was going to say that the actual golf ball makes no difference. Because so few people will reach the spec, it's made to do the spec is for the ball to behave a certain way at 127 miles an hour, right? And those folks will figure out a way to optimize it for swing speeds lower than that. They'll wind up hitting it further than spec when it's all said and done.
100%.
I mean, the pros should basically just play with wood bats and Bellotta golf balls, and that would just be the end of it. And every bit of talking about how they would have to do so much R&D to figure out how to make a 1992 Tour Bellotta golf ball with wound rubber bands is about as hilarious as people from NASA saying we don't have the technology to go to the moon. It just cracks me up. Everyone's gonna wind up playing the MLR ball because they're gonna make this ball such that you won't be affected because you don't swing fast enough. Like, you'll never reach the max of the ball anyway, so it won't make any difference. And that'll be the end of it. So no real gains. At least they've said that they've done something. Hey, good for them.
All right. I think at this point, it sounds like, JT, you're clipping your nails over there or something. I'm hearing all kinds of blades clipping.
Pen clicking, I think.
I'm sorry. We've been here for a while. I was
coming from Bedford. So I think we're going to wrap it up. Any closing thoughts out of anybody on the Masters, on anything else? Live golf, litigation, my Mustang travails.
Tiger Woods is a scumbag who needs to learn how to treat women, and he will not finish in the top 20 at the Masters.
Will he make the cut?
Yes.
Will he make the cut? Okay.
He will make the cut.
Hmm. J-score, Tiger make the cut. Tiger I don't, loses
I don't
lawsuit.
Think Tiger makes the cut. I don't think Tiger makes the cut. I agree with JT. Just put her on your payroll for life. What's the problem? Cut her a check all the time. You're not going to notice it. You're Tiger Woods. This hurts again. Like my heart says he makes the cut and is in contention, but my brain says like that walk is so tough and he's a shell of what he was. I mean, he can still strike the ball so well though, but I don't know if he's got enough gas in the tank to be able to make it happen. So maybe misses the cut and then disappears, but I'm just gonna go miss cut for Tiger, unfortunately.
Why do golfers and pro athletes, why do they always date, marry normals? I mean, I guess DJ is an exception there with the daughter of Wayne Gretzky, but it seems like these guys love to just pick their spouses out of obscurity. I mean, really, Tiger? That's what she was the hostess at your steakhouse. I mean, she had, apparently she's had some legal troubles before. How are you picking these people? I mean, you got to do a little bit more background work, I think. There's got to be some, sitcom actress out there who'd like to do, he had Lindsay Vonn there for a while. That seemed like a better match. You know, people who know how to keep things discreet, it seems like they do better with that. But athletes, I don't know, they tend not to.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, I mean, no comment.
I'm kind of afraid to touch it in a way, but I don't know. Tiger's complicated and clearly has some sort of habit he's got in his life.
That I'm not going to touch. Okay. All right. I think we've pretty much exhausted it. We may be back later in the week. We may not be back for 4 months. Who could possibly say at this point?
Who knows?
But we're all excited.
We were extra zesty tonight, I feel like. I don't
– And this is – no it was drinking. Is anybody drinking here tonight?
No.
I had a Paloma.
I forgot how fun this was. It's been that long.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
Thank you. Take care.
Sometimes it snows in April. Sometimes I feel so bad, so bad. Sometimes I wish that life was never ending.